Hi, I'm Sasha.
And I'm Kirsten.
And this is Mess Magnet. We're back, baby, after a wild episode.
Literally.
Last week. Like, thank you, Bryce. Thanks to all of you for, like, listening and just putting up with us, honestly. Because I did a weird, I hope we cut it out, like, right before we start. Just had, like, a weird hack. I don't know what that was.
It was like you were like, ha, and then just stopped. And I was like, did she forget that she's supposed to say, hi, I'm Sasha?
So here we are, y'all. Like, that is the energy going into this podcast. Okay, we love it. But before we start, Kirsten, we are at 206 reviews and ratings.
Only 44 away from unlocking merch. Y'all did your homework assignment. Thank you, Bryce, for pointing that out. I especially liked Anne's review that's like, I'm doing this because Bryce said it was my homework assignment, and this messenger needs to keep up her perfect 4.0 at UMass. That's right. If you want a 4.0 and you don't want your permanent record to impact you from getting into a good college,
getting into UMass, listen,
you have to leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Period. 4.0, 5 stars. I know we're throwing a lot of numbers at you, even though I'm not good at math, but like 5 stars only, okay?
Don't worry, it makes sense. It makes sense.
It only makes sense. Everything we say only always makes sense, period.
Oh, Lord. I don't know about that, but it's fine if you want to pretend.
Listen, let me live in my like 7th dimension.
Yeah, we are truly on another planet. But yes, we deeply appreciate all the ratings and reviews. Please leave more if you can at robhaswebsite.com/messfeed. Also, if you subscribe to our Mess Magnet specific feed, that's really helpful to the pod. And you can follow us on Twitter at Mess Magnets.
Oh, thanks, everyone, for literally all y'all are doing, because I feel like finally folks know that they're like at Mess Magnets, cover this. Like, you,
yes.
Thank you. You know, like, I feel like our brand is branding finally.
Yeah, we're getting there. And, you know, we're getting to the end of our renewed episodes. So if y'all are tweeting at the Daddy Network, if you are leaving us ratings and reviews, if you are downloading the episode on your phone, your mom's phone, your grandma's phone, your friend's phone, your dog's phone, that helps our chances at getting renewed for a bit more mess.
Listen, we are trying. We're with the mess, okay? Let us be officially with the mess.
We are in the mess.
Oh, my God. But, yes, I feel like we don't have necessarily quantity-wise a lot today. But, y'all, we're going to get into it. I feel like let's just get into the Jeanette McCurdy book.
Yeah, this is a lot, and it is heavy. So, yes. Just, like, right off the jump, we're going to be talking about eating disorders, child abuse, alcoholism, like a lot. There is a lot here. So just be aware.
Parent loss. I feel like a lot of triggering. Like just all of it at this point. So we just, you know, we want to make it clear before we start, because this is just a lot. And I can't believe this like really happened to one person, you know?
And it's like, this is just what she can share because her mom is dead and can't sue her.
Yes.
And so, like, there are so many other people that did Jeanette McCurdy so dirty that she can't say as much about because of lawsuits. And so pretty much everything we're going to say here is from Jeanette McCurdy's memoir, I'm Glad My Mom Is Dead. Mm-hmm. But then also we're going to pepper in some alleged stories about Dan Schneider as well that are all alleged. But the information's out there.
Yes. Thank you to Celebrity Book Memoir for doing that. Y'all should definitely check them out as well. But we're just grateful that we were able to like do a little bit of research on it, because a good amount of stuff came out after last week. So here we are.
And so, yeah, thank you to Celebrity Memoir Book Club, and also thank you to Beyond the Blinds that released their previously behind the paywall episode of all of the Dan Schneider blind items that also will be feeding into this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Citing our sources.
Listen, look at us. Blind. We do research. But yeah, so first, I just want to say, like, how this memoir kind of came about was Jeanette McCurdy, like, does not like acting, which is, to me, I feel like the biggest revelation out of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like five key takeaways. Her mother's abuse, time on iCarly, the creator, which we know, Dan Schneider, allegedly, and then her relationship with Ariana Grande and Nickelodeon from that with that. So that's kind of how we're going to try to break it down. But also, like, there's a lot of info, so we might be a little all over the place. Bear with us.
Exactly. So obviously the first thing you hear is that the name of the book is I'm Glad My Mom Died. And you're like, whoa there. Mm-hmm. But then you read it and you're like, I'm also glad your mom died.
Yeah. Listen, like, abuse is wild. And this is where, if anyone wants to be, you know, a child actor, I don't know how you could do it. After this.
Well, and that's the thing is I think that there's so much information about the abuse that happens to children in Hollywood that if anyone is even like, oh yeah, I'm gonna support my child as they like try to pursue this, there's like something is not right there.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm sure that there are some parents in Hollywood that are like very much care about their children getting like the right care, but we're not going to ever hear those stories because those are not going to be the super successful kids, because the successful ones are the ones that get groomed, taken advantage of, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened with Jeanette McCurdy, because it starts with, she was like, I hated acting. But it seems like it was her mom's dream to really make sure that she was in it and you know, that she was successful at it, because allegedly she was really good. So the book really starts with detailing how her mother pushed her throughout her career. And in the very, like, basically from jump, she was put on like a calorie restrictive diet and could only do certain tasks. And her mom had to kind of approve it. And she even had a specific wardrobe for auditions, like a fuzzy pink shirt with a rhinestone heart and black faux leather shorts and black go-go boots.
Oh, my God. Well, and also, too, like, in the background of all of this is her home. Well, like, her mom was like a full hoarder. So the home was like packed. Her and the other kids like slept on gym mats in the living room because that's the only place where they could sleep, because their bedrooms are so full of stuff. They were homeschooled. She was always isolated from the world and only had her mom. And so like she had like this codependent relationship with her mom, where her mother's happiness was her responsibility from a very young age. Just really, really sad stuff. And yeah, so the auditions, it was always like a very specific look.
She started at age six, doing all this. And her mother was like always attached, like, which wasn't her choice. It just, her mom was like constantly with her.
Even acting classes were like, the parents were not allowed in the acting class, which also like, I do think might be a bit of a red flag there. You know, just a little weird. But even then her mom was like, well, no, but I have cancer, so I can't go anywhere, so I have to stay. And was like the only parent in the acting class.
Yeah. And basically was like using her cancer as a free pass on acting the way she was acting. But then, like, eventually, it was really, really gross.
It's everything about her mom is just bleh.
Yeah. And then like two things from like that initial thing that stood out for me was one, she then, I guess, mastered being like the crying girl.
She learned how to cry on command.
Yeah. Because she was like not booking any auditions because her heart wasn't in it. And folks kind of just knew, like, they casting agents aren't dumb. So they were like, hey, she could be great if and they were, you know, folks would tell her mom that she needed acting classes. But in reality, you know, it was that she on purpose wasn't really trying to get the role. But eventually she figured out that she could just cry on command. And as a kid, the acting casting agents loved that. So she became like the crying girl. So mm-hmm. anytime they needed someone, they're like, hey, call the crying girl. We need her. We need her. So that's kind of how she started booking gigs. And then eventually she was Christian, right? Like, I feel like Jeanette McCurdy herself.
Yeah. So they grew up in like a Mormon household.
Yes.
But even then they were like a little bit isolated in the church because they weren't as like devout as other Christian families. And so going to church like really was something that Jeanette loved. And then at a point they stopped going and it really impacted her in that way. But she developed OCD
mm-hmm.
and part of that manifested in a voice in her head that to her was the Holy Ghost telling her what to do. Like, and even her grandpa was like, I think she has OCD. And the mom was just like, no, you're ridiculous. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And the grandpa is like the only person that like low key was trying to stand up for her. Because her dad was pretty MIA and, you know, just mom and dad never got along. Anyway, it was just a lot. So if folks are wondering where dad was during all of this. So then fast forward to when she was 11. This is when her mom is constantly like, I don't want you to grow up. I don't want y'all to grow up.
Well, and so she's afraid of growing up. And she's also like very afraid of cancer because her mom had cancer. So there's a story where she woke up one day and she thought she had breast cancer because one side of her chest was like a little bigger than the other. And her mom goes, oh, no, this isn't cancer. This is you like growing up and getting boobies. And she's like, I don't want to grow up, because her mom has always been like, you can't grow up. Be my little girl forever. And her mom's like, well, you know, I can help you not grow up. And so she puts her on a 1,000-calorie-a-day diet. And this is the point in the book where we find out that her mom would have tea with no sweetener for breakfast and steamed vegetables for dinner and nothing else all day long.
Yeah. And then she was like, well, I'll give you that at 11, y'all, which is just so unfortunate. And then and this is how groomed she was, where she was so afraid of disappointing her mom that, you know, when you go to the doctor's office, listen, even they tell you that sometimes their scales are a little off. So she weighed 2 pounds more at the doctor's than she did at home that morning. And she was like, oh, no, I'm disappointing my mom by weighing more. So this is how like ingrained and groomed this stuff was.
And this is like, and like she's undersized to the point of the doctor brings up the possibility of anorexia to the mom. People at school are like, hey, we're concerned about Jeanette. And like, you know, someone else in the school has sent their child to this like therapist and like, like she needs help. And the mom just been like, oh, people are being so dramatic.
Mm-hmm. But meantime, she is like at 12 now, weighing 61 pounds. Okay. So it's just, that's not normal because she is a healthy kid. Like, she should be a kid. Anyway, and then this is where the abuse starts coming in. So again, if like abuse is your trigger, like maybe fast forward a little bit here. And this comes from, again, I don't want y'all to grow up. Okay, that's like the mindset. So the mom still showered her teen brother and her, sometimes together. And mom would explain that I'm gonna like wash your front butt, which is her vagina.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna do like an exam to make sure everything's okay. And it's like, no. And also like she also showered her brother until her brother was like 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm assuming her brother also was getting a full examination. Not good. And she also would be like, oh, well, Jeanette, like, I have to shower you because you won't wash your hair properly if I don't do it for you.
It's like, and well, I think
you
even
wash your hair in the sink. You can wash her hair in the sink. You don't have to do a whole shower on her body.
Exactly. No, but she would even like say, I have to wash your butt because of like, I don't want skid marks and you're not washing it correctly or like enough or something like that. Mind you, these are like teenagers. And the mom literally just is grooming them to think this is normal, even though Jeanette like writes in the book how, well, I felt like that wasn't normal. And this is where I think it's so sad, right? That kids and their inner voices, like they're very strong and they're very smart and perceptive, but they just can't, like they're just not heard.
She even talks about how like during like these showers, she like felt like she was outside of her body, like completely dissociated. Like, it's just so sad to think of this happening just to anyone at all. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And so she finally got like her quote, big break on iCarly when she was 14. And at this point, she still weighed. Her weight was so low, she had to be in a booster seat at 14.
Yeah, which is just, wow. And for folks that maybe don't know booster seat stuff, it's like, it's just, you have to be a certain height and weight, and then you can graduate out of like special seats. But here we are, that even at 14, and if you look at her in the earlier episodes, like it unfortunately makes sense. And she, The saving grace, I guess, of being on iCarly was that her and Miranda Cosgrove, who played iCarly, became really good friends. And that's the only like pleasant piece of it, I want to say, because her character, like Sam, I watched iCarly a little bit. So she was like the fun sidekick that did a lot of physical comedy. Mm-hmm. And her and Miranda Cosgrove became really good friends, but not even on set. Like, that's what's crazy. It was via AIM chat.
So adorable. And yeah, they were, they stayed close for a long time too. Like, I think they did eventually have a falling out, but like they were good friends for a long time. And I know there was a point where Dan Schneider won like a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Miranda Cosgrove also won an award that night, but she boycotted the show with Jeanette and didn't go because of Dan Schneider's award. Well, yeah, I mean, allegedly, that's why, but like,
allegedly. But the problem was that Jeanette's mom didn't want her to be friends with Miranda. So because she, quote unquote, doesn't believe in God, but they still, you know, created a beautiful friendship. And that's kind of the pause, right? As like the good piece of iCarly, even though she even said Miranda helped her a lot through her eating disorder and stuff like that. But, you know, she hated being in bathing suits, but the creator, Dan Schneider, allegedly wanted them in bathing suits, and they even had to take like pictures.
Yeah, they're like, we need pictures of you in bikinis so that the creator can determine what they want you to wear. And this is where, so there's according to the blind item, so obviously all alleged, the Dan Schneider stuff is weird. So if you watch any shows that were produced by Dan Schneider's company, you will find a lot of like weird foot fetish stuff in the shows, where it will show like people like putting feet in each other's mouths or just like up close shots of feet, and it's like kids' feet. But even to the point where like Nickelodeon would tweet out like, hey, it's like Nick Friday, like take a picture of your foot and write like Sam and Cat on the bottom and post it, and we'll retweet it. And then there's like replies that are like, nice like picture, like send more pictures of your feet, like stuff like that. That is like very disturbing. As well as like other like horrible behavior, where like for a long time, like Dan Schneider and 14-year-old Miranda Cosgrove were like seen at events, and then like the blind items would be like, he's sleeping with her. And it's like,
That's not
sexual assault. And that's not sleeping with. Like, that is sexual assault and grooming.
Like, you cannot, like, you, it cannot be in a consensual relationship there's a power dynamic.
And The age and power, all of it is like every part of it is vile. There's even a blind item on Crazy Days and Nights that is allegedly written by Robert Downey Jr. about how like messed up Dan Schneider is and how the industry will always protect him and how the parents don't protect the kids. Nickelodeon doesn't protect the kids. Nobody protects them from Dan Schneider. And the other part too is a girl posted about she had gone to a casting call for Nickelodeon back in the day. And basically the description of the casting process was like the kids alone without their parents in a room with a ton of producers, like sitting on their laps and being held and just nasty behavior. So that all of that is in the background of this. Mm-hmm. So Jeanette has no safe place at home. She has no safe place working. She has one friend who she can only talk to on instant messaging. And she hates her job on top of it. Like even when you don't count the abuse.
Exactly.
So it's a lot of quote the creator.
Yeah.
Making it even worse on set for her.
Exactly. And even here's where I just wish like someone would step in at Nickelodeon, you know, like, but I mean, power dynamic, like Harvey Weinstein's of the world. Right. It's just so hard because.
Well, that's the other thing, too. So they talk about this on Beyond the Blinds a little bit of like, why didn't Dan Schneider get all of the attention during Me Too? Like, everybody knows he's doing this.
And to kids.
And so their theory is basically, it's like so dark that people can't even conceptualize it to like bring it to light and talk about it. Like, it's just so bad that they can't even accept it.
Yeah. And that they were party to it because she even talks about producers, how they were like, well, the creator like has the final say. So Dan, the creator allegedly screamed in her face and told her like how to kiss and this was her first kiss. Okay. First kiss on camera. And instead of it being, you know, like in a space that's safe, he was like, no, you need to do this, and multiple takes, like over and over again. Ugh. So he could like basically watch it. It's absolutely like horrible. And this is where you want to give the mom a little rope. It was like, did she know this, and is this why she constantly wanted to be around? But I don't know. It's just and then it goes into like the actual creator stuff. In addition to everything Kirsten said, where the memoir also kind of talks about how she was exploited, because again, she said he had two sides, where one side would be like benevolent and amazing, or da da da, and then the other side was like evil, basically. And she said she felt about him like she felt about her mom. Mm-hmm. So she's now back into this like people pleasing. Oh, I need them to like me. Not even like me. I need them to like be happy. You know, all of that stuff, right, is now coming up.
Which is just like a total trauma response, right? Like people talk a lot about fight or flight, but they don't really talk about freeze and fawn, which are a lot more likely in these kinds of situations where you're like, oh, okay, well, if I fawn and if I make people happy, then they won't be angry again and I can fix it.
Yes, exactly. And then he constantly were like, how did you feel about me? Do you like me? And then wanted to create a show called Just Puckett, which is Sam Puckett, right? Her character spinoff. But it was contingent on him being able to guide her and help her. Like, what does that even mean?
It was basically like, you need to do whatever I say.
Yes.
And then you will get a show.
Which is like disgusting. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so disgusting. And then he was just like, he was forcing her to like drink at 18. Cause he was like, the iCarly kids are too nice. You need to get some edge to yourself because the Victorious kids, they're always drunk. And they're always like, you know, living their best life, blah, 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 versus you. You guys are too nice.
He would pit the shows against each other all of the time. Just to be like, well, yeah, win my approval because you're competing with this other show.
Mm-hmm. And then it seems like I never watched Victorious, but Yvonne Jagoda, sorry if I'm not saying your name right. You know, he made a TikTok and basically says he doesn't remember his time on the Victorious set because he was either drunk or hungover.
Yeah, there's there are a lot of stories about that and a lot of like stories about like that show being what got Ariana Grande like allegedly into drugs and that kind of stuff. So
bad. Ugh. And then like he would and again, she's 18 years old and he's doing all this, but you know, she's been with him Nickelodeon since she was 14. So it's just so much grooming that even though she's a quote unquote adult, right? Her brain is not there yet. With the mom.
Yeah, the stuff with
forcing.
Exactly. Yeah. The stuff with her whole life has led her to the point where she's 18, but she's not prepared for anything.
Yeah. And she was saying that it was like a known fact that if you're a child star, you're less likely to become famous after. And it's just it's not going to happen. So she was even pretending to want this because one, she doesn't want to act. Two, Dan Schneider's making her uncomfortable. Three, mom is like always around and making her do this. And then four, child actors are rarely breaking through. So yeah.
And she's like, horrible. I knew this, but my mom didn't know this. And so I just pretended like it was going to work out, even though I knew it wouldn't.
Exactly.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And then this is like the weird part where she details a few dinners, but this dinner where he wants her to be more grateful, he says, and he places her hand on her knee and he starts massaging, gives her a massage because, you know, she's very uncomfortable. And he's like, you're so uncomfortable. I'm going to massage you. And no, like, again, I'm just like, why can't someone step in? But her mom is even like, no, like you need to be more grateful. He's doing so much for us, blah, blah, blah. And then he gives her like, and she's like has chills and she's uncomfortable and it's cold. And she's, you know, has an eating disorder, all of this. And then he's like, oh, you're cold. So let me just give you a jacket. And then just kept talking.
Yeah, it's like she has goosebumps from him like massaging her and grabbing her. And he's like, oh, you're cold. Here, let me give you my jacket, as if that's going to solve anything. This is the point too, like she didn't get her period until she was like quite old because of like the anorexia from age 11. And when she got it, she was like, oh well, obviously I've like let things slip and I need to make sure I'm eating less again to make sure I don't have my period so that I can be a kid.
Yeah. And then her disordered eating, I think, just kept going up more and more and more. And then this was around the time they were also, I think all the Nickelodeon kids started becoming country star or like singers.
Yeah, because it was the writer's strike. So there was no TV. So all of the like young kid stars were like, okay, well, I'm going to try to become like a country singer.
Mm-hmm. And she actually did really well with it. And then this was like the first time that she was without her mom because she was going on tour. And I think her mom had like the cancer.
Had chemo. Yeah.
Chemo. So the cancer was back. And I think so her mom had to be at chemo so she couldn't be with Jeanette.
And Jeanette tried to not go on tour. She's like, oh, you're having chemo. I can't be gone. And her mom was like, no, you have to go.
Yeah, I mean, she's the cash cow. So and then she ends up like meeting a boy and has a crush on him. She kissed a boy. She was 18, but he was 27.
And there's even a description of like she became aroused from kissing.
Yeah.
And then she was like, well, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, why is it wet down there? Like, I need to shower myself because it's not clean and something's wrong. Like, mm-hmm. She had no concept.
Zero understanding. And then she finally ends up like moving out at 18. But
like not really.
Yeah. Because a PA from this is when she finally got Sam and Kat. Mm-hmm. So would drive her back and forth because she didn't know how to drive.
And her mom wouldn't let her learn.
Yes.
Messed up.
And then her mom started to ask to spend the night to be like, let's have a sleepover
every night.
Every night. And then she knew she was like, I knew if I say yes, she's never going to leave. But I don't know how to say no because she has cancer and basically has groomed her right her entire life. So her mom starts to stay the night and they're roommates again now.
So sad. This is where she ends up dating a writer, I think, from Sam and Kat, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, she, like, wants to have a sleepover with him. She tells her mom, oh, I'm going to go stay with Miranda. And her mom's like, oh, I know you're, like, a lying whore. And I'm going to find out the truth and all of this. She has her, like, quote, romantic night. And basically this man is just, like, crying as he broke up with his girlfriend of 5 years, like very recently. And he like wants to have sex with her. She's like, oh no, I'm not ready to have sex. And he's like, okay, well, can you at least give me a blowjob? And like fully coerces her to do it. She's
which
like,
is horrible, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. And we've not said he's 32 years old.
Yes.
And she's 18, maybe 19.
Maybe 19 at this point. And she like is like, well, I've never done that before. Can you tell me how to do it? And he's just like, no, I can't tell you how to do it. So she just like, I don't know, is coerced into doing something she's not ready to do. He comes and she's like, oh, something came out. Like, what is this? And then he like cries. And I was like, oh, my God, like, what have I done? It's like, yeah, what have you done? Like, what is wrong with you?
And then he cried again. Loser. This guy is like a horrible piece of shit.
His girlfriend of 5 years dodged a bullet.
Major. Okay. But turns out they end up dating for 1 year. But basically, is this dating or is this like using? Because she paid off all his debt. He's drunk all the time. And then she's calling him possessive, but then he's doing this. It's just like this horrible, horrible relationship for a year. Mm-hmm. And then that's happening. And while this is happening, the cancer is maybe getting worse, not sure. But her mom is now starting to make Jeanette practice singing a song at her mom's funeral.
Yeah,
but she's like, I need you to practice it.
I think it was that like I'll be there for you.
Yeah, I can't. I should have wrote the name. Yeah,
that one, whatever that one is. She's like, yeah, I need you to practice every day to sing this song at my funeral, which is so beyond.
Just horrible, y'all. So then she starts like resenting that and then singing as well. And then, you know, finally her mom's like in the hospital and the nurses keep coming up to her. Like, what is wrong with people?
They're like, oh, are you Jeanette McCurdy? And she's like, no. I'm like, well, but you look so much like her. Can I get a picture anyways? Like, excuse me. No.
While her mom's in a coma.
Like dying. Like it's at the point where it's like, they know her mom is dying and it's going to happen soon. She's not going to get better. And there's even a point where she's like, well, is my mom going to live 3 more days? And they're like, yeah, like it's 3 more days. You can go for like a couple of days to see her friends. And that's where she discovers alcohol.
Yes, because she goes to San Francisco from LA and then gets drunk for the first time.
Just and like shots.
Yes. And then unfortunately, all her worries disappear. And she says, oh, I can't wait to keep getting drunk. And then this leads to the most, you know, like, unfortunately, textbook child actor, alcoholism. And then she again gets Sam and Kat. She hates the job, but she gets a new house from it. But the new house is a mess. Like, the foundation is like messed up. So it's just, it's so unfortunate. I don't know. Where nothing in her life goes right. And like, I remember, I mean, when I was buying a house, you know, I was grateful that I could reach for my parents and be like, what do you think about this? And then they would be like, they would point stuff out because experience.
Yeah.
And to have like this kind of family. But then she uses that coma to at least break up the guy, which is nice. But then she likes dating. So she's now been dating, but she doesn't feel like she can love necessarily.
So sad.
Which is like, I get it. Like, if this is your life, you probably don't think you're worthy of love. But then this is when the Sam and Kat stuff, it's kind of known, right? Like, that they didn't get along, but that's kind of all we knew of it. So now finally, Sam and Kat was Ariana Grande, everyone. And Jeanette McCurdy like talks a lot about how she had to put a lot of her endeavors on hold. Like, she was getting movie roles.
Yeah, she wasn't able to do them. She couldn't get time off.
Yes. But Ariana Grande could get written off the show because she written off the show isn't written off episodes. And she was allowed to kind of go pursue her music and become like a pop star. And then Ariana Grande would come back and not in like, again, a mean way, but in more like she would just, you know, share with everyone what was happening in her life. And they even noted one time where Ariana Grande got to go to charades with Tom Hanks Tom Hanks' house. And Jeanette McCurdy is like, so I know y'all can do it, you know? So I know you can do it, but you're not doing it for me. Like, what's going on?
Like, literally, there's a whole episode where Ariana Grande was supposedly in a box.
Box.
And Sam just got to act with a box.
Yeah. So she's like, so I know I'm a good actor if you're letting me act with a box. So why? And the original, remember, the creator had said that she's going to get her own show, but they instead called it Sam and Kat. So that's already an issue, you know, because Ariana Grande's piece was never mentioned. And then, you know, and that stemmed for a lot of jealousy. And I appreciate that she like owns it. You know what I mean? She owns that she was jealous.
Yeah. And she also like, based on like what we know, it's really still just like Ariana Grande got opportunities that Jeanette was never going to get. And that was always going to be the case considering the family that Ariana Grande comes from. Like, Ariana Grande was always going to be famous. It was just, well, who's going to make her famous, right?
Yeah.
Versus like Jeanette, it was like a slog and a lot, like her whole life for it. And I know a lot of the headlines from this book are coming out to talk about Ariana Grande and blame her for things. But I don't think Jeanette blames Ariana Grande for things. And if you are more focused on what Ariana Grande has done than what Dan Schneider has allegedly done, you're messed up.
Exactly. Like, wake up.
Wake up, sheeple.
God. Seriously, though. But yeah, so that's where, unfortunately, all of this Ariana Grande, Sam and Kat stuff happened. But again, what Nickelodeon was low-key putting out was like, it was Jeanette McCurdy's fault that they got canceled, which just isn't true.
And she always was being told, like, oh, thanks for being a good sport. Thanks for being a good sport.
Yes, like, you're the good egg, basically. And then what's also wild is that she was supposed to direct one of the episodes.
And it was in her contract that she would get to direct an episode. And as the last season was filming, it was like, it kept getting moved and moved and moved. And then all of a sudden it was off. And the producers are like, well, we want you to do this, but like someone powerful doesn't want you to do this.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it had to be the creator, right? Like no one else, because by this point also, he wasn't allowed to be on set.
So many sexual harassment claims against him, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. But the narrative they put out, and basically the show was canceled, y'all, because of a sexual harassment against a producer. But their narrative was that she was being difficult and they just scapegoated her.
Yeah.
Just evil, evil, evil. And this is where like it gets horrible because now she's drinking a lot. Yeah. She's drinking a lot. And then she loses her virginity.
Yeah, she loses. Well, she loses her virginity. So it's like she picked someone that she was like, I'm going to lose my virginity to this person. But
yeah,
we'll kiss. And then in a few weeks, I'll have sex with him. But the first night that they go out, they quote have sex. She's like described being so drunk that she's like, oh, what's happening? And he's like, I'm having sex with you, which is can we teach people what consent is, please? Because that's not it. And she's like felt numb, like felt like she was outside of her body. And then was kind of like, well, you know what? I didn't think I would have sex tonight, but I did.
Yeah. And she was just kind of numb to it, which is so unfortunate. And then this kind of wraps up, I think, the Nickelodeon piece where the last thing she tells us about Nickelodeon was that they also offered her $300,000 in hush money. They call it a thank you parting gift.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to talk about your experience if you take the money.
Listen, listen. And then she does. This is why I feel like this is one of the better books because she's so honest. She's like, oh shit, should I have taken it? You know, and that's the real regret. But she didn't because I think she had a story to tell. And I'm so grateful she didn't.
Yes. Well, and then another part of like for the financial side of things is so for whatever reason, so Nickelodeon doesn't pay residuals. And pay is like much lower than other comparable shows. And so they can buy people off with a couple $100,000 because they're not like super rich, even though they've done like seasons and seasons of shows and are really successful and becoming quite famous. So that also like kind of fits into the puzzle there.
Yeah, it's just... I think it's because I would also say it's wild because one, imagine not getting residuals. And secondly, imagine like not having social media, right? To like promote brands or get money off of that. So it's just constant L's at that point. Ugh. But yeah. And then anyway, so that is kind of like the end of the Nickelodeon. She finally gets another show. It's like low budget, I think on Netflix. And then she has a fling with the AD. And seems like she's finally like having good sex with someone. And this guy like kind of pushes her to go to therapy and get a life coach. But it's like a therapy life coach is not like a therapist for her disordered eating and for drinking. And then she gets on this like crazy 5 days a week regimen with this person, which is like a lot. Wow. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not like a therapist. And then she, you know, she feels like she has it under control. So she goes to an award show. But award shows are famous for, like, having crazy amounts of food backstage. So her therapist, I think she calls them Laura, was too busy kind of, like, taking pictures with Adam Sandler, she writes, and a few other people. Yeah, that, you know, she was, like, missing.
She binges on Sliders.
Yes. She missed that, started binging. But then Laura took her out, you know, and she broke down a little. Finally, she got to where she didn't binge for a whole day. And then, you know, Laura then talked her through. She was like, now we need to get through your childhood. Because now that we've kind of talked through, like, current and how to get a hold of, like, what currently is happening, let's talk about your past. And she felt like Laura pushed her too much. So she quit. And it didn't sound necessarily like the most helpful anyway. It felt like that was in that moment what was helpful for her to get her out of this like hole.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the AD's name is Steven, not actually, comes back from ATL, where he was, you know, filming the show from Atlanta. And then he's like, I found Jesus. Because he watched a show called, or a movie show called God Is Not Dead.
I don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like it is a movie film. It's a film series.
Got it.
What the whoa. So it is based on a book, God's Not Dead, Evidence for God in an Age of Uncertainty. And it follows a Christian college student whose faith is challenged by an atheist philosophy professor who declares God a pre-scientific fiction. And it's like heavily criticized for directing, performances, tone, characters, use of straw man arguments, and stereotypes of atheists. No actual debate. And there are three more films in the franchise. There's a second one for 2016, a third from 2018, and a fourth from 2021.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Ugh. So it's just really unfortunate. I don't know how else to say it. So, yeah. So he says you don't need therapy anymore because you found Jesus. So because she thought he would break up with her because she quit therapy. But he's like, actually, no, all good. You just need Jesus. And then later on, he was like, I am Jesus reincarnated.
Yes, he is diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Yeah. Later on. Yeah. So that's kind of. And then her and Steven, like, she's kind of traveling for a lot of work. But y'all, this was the wildest thing, because she finally talks to her mom. Has her mom died now?
Yeah, her mom has been dead for a while.
Yeah.
And so she finally talks to her dad.
Yeah, about like what's going on.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm not your dad.
Yeah, because I guess she goes to lunch or something, right, with her dad and mom's best friend.
Yeah, because her dad is like, listen, I'm about to marry your mom's best friend.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, what's going on? Like, why would you do this? You know, my poor mom, blah, blah, blah. And then turns out he's like, actually, your mom had an affair with a man for years and had two kids.
Yeah. So only like one of the three kids is
The oldest brother.
Yeah,
their only biological son. Turns out her and her other brother are another man's children
from the affair. She finds her biological dad, who's like, oh, yeah, like, I knew you existed, but because of the custody battle, like, your mom said I was abusive, so I wasn't allowed to see you, so I couldn't be in your life. And then she's like, oh, well, did you know my mom died? And he's like, yeah, I saw it on E! News.
Yeah. I just can't imagine finding like what life you lead that E! News is like where you find out, you know, something true about your life.
Weird. Yeah, just absolute bizarre.
Yeah.
So she's 30 now. She's a 92 baby like myself.
Yeah. And she's born on the same day as me. How weird.
Ooh.
Yeah. June 26th.
Whoa.
I know.
I didn't put that part together.
Yeah. No, because it started with like June 26, 92. I was like, what do you mean June 26?
You were like, wait, I was one.
Yeah.
So she is still in therapy. She is like working on still unpacking her past. Like,
yes.
She knows that her mom was abusive and a narcissist, but also like misses her and, you know, still fantasizes about like her mom apologizing to her. And it's just like, it's sad. Like, she's just like so many other people was abused as a child and is now struggling as an adult.
Exactly.
I also like
so sad
with the Dan Schneider stuff. There is some like outrageous stuff out there. There's a whole thing. I just sent this thread to Sasha. I will retweet it on the Mess Magnets page in a minute. But it's basically a full some people really believe that Dan Schneider is actually the father of Jamie Lynn Spears' baby that she had when she was 16. And also like there's blind items that indicate he could have fathered a lot of kids with like teen parents.
That's so sad.
So sad. it's a lot. And like, yeah, it's not confirmed. It's all alleged.
Yeah, alleged.
It's not impossible.
It's just, it's so gross. There's a lot, like, and they put up pictures of like him, like with multiple kids, but also Jeanette, like,
yeah.
And you could tell the kids just, I just
they don't want to be there. Yeah. And then there's also like a whole thing of like all of the weird foot stuff in shows that he's done.
God. Basically, this thread allegedly says, like, everyone remembers when Jamie got pregnant and Zoe 101 ended. Tragic day. But her boyfriend, Casey Aldridge, was claimed to be the father of the baby. And, you know, everyone said it was a big shock, blah, blah, blah. Because her mother said that she always came home at curfew. She's well behaved, which we know that doesn't mean anything. Like, people don't only have sex at night.
Wait, what? You can do it in the day?
What? I didn't know. Teenager?
This is news like, to me as I am unwed. So why would I know?
Look at me. Horrible. in fact, Jamie and Casey had broken up at the time she was announced she was pregnant and had been an on and off couple for years. And then like Star Magazine, which like, again, take with a grain of salt.
You take it all with a grain of salt. Please. But it's a theory that exists and like it could hold some water. We don't really know.
Yeah. And then it says like they just don't believe that he is the dad, basically. But you know, Casey was being paid off to be the family's fall guy. And instead someone else. And the real reason is the older man could be charged with, you know, a lot of stuff if revealed to be the father of an underage girl's baby. But in Jamie Lynn's home state, Louisiana, which again, horrible, horrible states, where a 16-year-old can legally have sex. Like consent, it's consensual. And then there's just like a bunch of stuff after that, but this is why people are saying that they maybe weren't even together.
Yeah, so there's a lot to it. Just if people want to look out and see what you think, there's also like listen to the Beyond the Blinds episode about Dan Schneider. And even they're like, yeah, we can't do all of his blind items because they're all just like the same and it's so dark.
But yeah, and it's,
you know, played a big role with Amanda Bynes and a lot of other young child stars that.
Mm-hmm. God. But yeah, so again, we don't like we're just allegedly reporting what's happening. Like it's not for sure.
Yeah, what anything that we're saying about Dan Schneider is not confirmed. It's alleged. Yes. It's just theories that are out there. But it seems to be widely accepted truths in Hollywood.
Yeah, well. That's yes. And it seems like a lot of people know about it.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. That was a lot.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is the like kind of end of it, because the saddest piece of all of it is like she says she like has fantasies that her mom like apologizes to her and like kind of owns up to everything, which is just really sad. And I just, you know, I wish the best for her. I hope this book deal gives her money, man. That's number one. And secondly, you know, I hope.
She finds peace. Yeah.
It's just, it's so sad. And it's wild. Like her character in iCarly was like obsessed with food. Like they constantly made her eat food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really like, to think of like someone's mom being like,
because usually you're about dads, but this is like the Gypsy Rose Blanchard, right? Like same thing where moms are just, what the hell?
To think of if you had been like, I'm scared about puberty. And your mom was like, okay, well, you can't eat.
And then she would get gifted like these magazines. Oh, just horrible. God, I can't. But yeah, that like wraps up
Yeah, that wraps up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Listen, okay, that was our headline. That was our main story.
Yes.
Yeah. Should we maybe take a little break before we do anything else?
I think we need
a little break. Okay. So we will be right back. And we're back. Okay. Lord, I'm so glad that like the meat of it is done and like the rest of what we're talking about is like smaller things.
Yeah.
Quick. So today, the day of recording, Florence Pugh and Zach Braff announced their breakup.
Yeah.
This is something that had been speculated for a few months because they haven't really been seen together, but their relationship was under like so much scrutiny that they kind of had avoided being in public anyways because of their massive age gap.
Yeah, I'm like Googling how old. I just knew that he's old. Yeah, he's 47. She's 26.
Yeah. I don't love it. But yeah, so they have, I do love that they've broken up. I've been a like very loud hater of their relationship because I think it's gross.
Do you think this was PR? No, right? Because it's bad PR only.
Because I don't think it really, like, it got them attention, which, like, I guess is always good. But, like, Florence got, like, all of her movies have gotten, like, such good reviews. Like, she's so talented and beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need this. Like, she could get way more PR from, like, oh, maybe she'll date Pete Davidson next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we finally figured it out that they're going to go live. So they needed to break up with Zach Braff before her and Pete Davidson go live.
Yeah, I don't know. But the other thing.
Stop dating Pete Davidson, y'all.
Love yourself enough to stop dating Pete Davidson.
Enough. That's community penis. Like, we don't need it.
Oh my god. Okay, the other thing I've been hearing about Florence Pugh lately, which is like such a quick bite, but obviously, so she's in Don't Worry Darling, which is directed by Olivia Wilde, but she hasn't been like posting about it, and she's been posting about other projects that are going to be released like later on, and the theory is that Olivia Wilde was so busy falling in love with Harry Styles she couldn't really direct the movie, so Florence had to end up like directing part of the movie, and so she holds a grudge. That's the theory, and I love it. I hope it's true.
Honestly, this is the kind of like I said, conspiracy theories. You know, this is the kind of conspiracy theories.
Well, like, there's something going on between Florence Pugh and Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, haven't we seen? Yeah, and then Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde. Because haven't we seen stuff before with Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles? Like, yeah. See, I put in Olivia and Harry Styles comes up.
Yeah,
they've allegedly people believe that they're they are dating.
Yeah, they're dating. Yeah.
Oh, they're like official.
I didn't know they were still together, to be honest. But so that's why they're like, oh well, she was so busy like with him.
Oh my god, this happened in freaking 2020. Where have I been?
Yeah, where have you been? It's fine. But so funny. I hope that's why she's not posting about Don't Worry Darling. Love
that's
to see it.
So
I hope that she is onward and upward to a more age-appropriate man that is better looking and more in line with her life. Because, like, you look at the picture of Zach Braff next to Florence Pugh and you're like, how?
Looks like her dad, older brother type. Like,
well, except for, like, but, like, ugly.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like as someone who's past their prime. Like, it's like a prune. But also, I just can't believe, I'm sorry, I'm so behind on this, because I didn't realize that the Harry Styles thing was so close, that it was only 2 months after she split from Jason Sudeikis.
I know.
I'm sorry, this is so funny.
Well, I think Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles are probably PR.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, massive age difference, right? I mean, maybe not. Yeah. I think she's also in her 40s.
Yeah. Like, they're just like at different points in their lives. They're just at different parts in their lives.
But, you know, that's probably why they're dating. Because she's like, yeah, I just ended like this really long relationship. Like, I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, and then, there's an article from July 30th that's like saying that Florence Pugh is unhappy about Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles.
Yeah. That's why I went down this whole track of like, she's apparently very mad. Okay, she's 38 and he's 28. Maybe it's only 10 years.
It's not the worst thing. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's but not Florence Pugh and Zach Braff.
Yeah, exactly.
21.
No, I don't like it. But yeah, so excited to watch Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah.
See Harry Styles on the big screen with Florence Pugh. And we'll go from there. But I just thought we'd talk about the breakup and talk about my favorite little feud conspiracy that I've been enjoying a lot. and then just another quick bite. Like, we don't need to dive into it. Yeah. But we've talked about Ezra Miller and the criminal behavior before. And they have a Variety article that came out on Monday, the 15th of August, talking about their complex mental health issues and apologizing for their behavior and saying that they are getting treatment.
They need to be in jail. Okay, like, and usually, you know, I would say, oh, mental health issues. No. They have been off their rocker, just wild in. And why do they still have the flash?
I know. Like, that's what's really messed up is, like, I guess the CW will not release them, which is wild. But, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's, like, they need to keep the flash alive, which is why they apologize and are seeking, quote-unquote, treatment. Cancel the flash.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we need the flash? I don't think so.
They that's aren't like, even the flash. That's what's crazy.
So on I saw an article yesterday that just talks about like the demographics of the CW, and it's like the average age of the viewers of the CW is like 55. So why are they making all these shows for kids? And like, listen, there's a lot of reasons why it could be that way. It could be people using their parents' accounts, it could be not counting streaming, like whatever. But like, I just think it's really funny that the CW has literally never made money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nothing. Just stop it.
Enough is enough.
Just end it. Okay, Warner Brothers, like, y'all are already... Warner Brothers and HBO, right? Y'all are pissing me the hell off already. And now, I just feel like it's weird that they're now trying to... This is a PR moment, okay? Because all of this stuff is happening. And Ezra Miller will be the Flash. Just kidding. I don't know why. Okay. Then that's really weird.
What I would like to know, that mother and her children, have they been returned home? Do we know where they are? Do we have the results? Are they okay?
Like, it's disgusting. And it seems like, because it's going to cost them $200 million. Why not put out the Batgirl?
You're right. You're absolutely right. But yeah,
or the Catwoman.
Oops. I don't know anymore.
What I listen for how much big of a Marvel stan I am. I'm flop on DC. Okay?
Listen, like, sorry, you can't everyone. Like you have to choose one, and I have chosen Marvel. So.
Thank you. Like I can. Anyway, like, it was Catwoman, not Batgirl.
Mess Magnets is a Marvel podcast, not a DC podcast.
But anyway, I can't believe this man. This person. Sorry, still gets to do all this and be.
This is why cancel culture is not real.
This, yeah, right. And this is why I'm just so tired of these people. Like, I'm so over them. But here we are. Like, I'm over Ezra Miller. I don't want to hear about them anymore. But we keep, they just keep
the
coming
news
back
keeps coming. The hits keep on coming. So we'll keep an eye out for what menace behavior Ezra Miller is doing.
Seriously.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Do you want to just do an anonymous?
Yeah, I think let's do anonymous. I think that's it for the mess, y'all. We try to not spend too much time on the podcast because we want it to be quick for y'all. This is vibes only, okay? This is as your review said.
Listen, the vibes you're doing today, dishes, have the vibes been good? I don't know about that.
It's a vibe. I didn't say it's good vibes. Maybe I should rephrase.
Of course.
Just vibes. Take that as you may.
Please. Oh my God. Okay.
Yes.
This anonymous, it is a long one.
I'm ready.
So we're going through. And so this is about our messenger is talking about a couple that they have been friends with for 30 years. The couple met in college and they have been in love ever since. Okay. About 10 years ago, when they hit their mid-40s, things went to hell. So the couple in question are two men who have master's degrees, a ton of money, and they're very successful. Good to know.
Okay. Oh, shit. Look at the next part.
Yeah. So this couple throws parties all the time. There's drinking, drugs, sex everywhere, but it's recreational. Nothing serious or scary, just like pot and vodka. Who among us has not, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But 10 years ago, things changed. So this messenger is going to name the people in this couple as Adam and Steve, which I think is very funny.
I know.
Adam is stable, makes sure everything gets done on time, does planning, makes big money, organizes things. Steve is creative, decorates a house, does designing, has ideas, and is snarky. Okay. So this is where we are learning about this inciting incident. It's about 10 years ago at a party our messenger did not attend. They got a call in the middle of the night from a third friend who was in his car about a mile away from the house saying that everyone was drunk and he and Steve ended up making out and started getting, quote, hand jobby in the guest bedroom. So I think like some groping, but not completion.
Full on. Yeah.
At this time, Adam and Steve were in a monogamous relationship, so they were not allowed to be doing that stuff. So a fight pursued. The third friend left really fast, said he'd never seen Adam so hurt or upset. Adam screamed and yelled so loud, left the house, slammed the door, broke the frame, and the door fell.
They decided to stay.
Yeah, I know. Listen. So the couple decided they were going to stay together, but they would have an open relationship. So they started getting guys from Grindr over all the time. And the guys from Grindr started bringing over drugs, like hard drugs.
Oh my God. I need to breathe, right? Like, it's just, it would have been enough if it ended
this could have been the whole mess.
Steve and third friend.
Yes.
No.
But no, it keeps going.
They say, you know what, monogamy is for the birds. So let's move.
If that's your decision and makes you happy, all the best. But I get the sense
that it was not
their happy decision.
Exactly.
So at this time, our messenger stopped hanging around Adam and Steve because they did not want to be around drugs or be there on Friday night when a whole bunch of men are just like having sex. While the two female friends, including our messenger, just have to entertain themselves.
Oh, my God. While men on men everywhere was happening.
Literally.
Wow.
Wild. Next thing, Adam and Steve have a third in their relationship.
This is a throuple now.
And apparently this third is crazy. But they keep him around and it gets messy. He sabotages their relationships, trying to get in between them, ending in a fiery crash. They have a couple more boyfriends and start getting more and more into drugs and start losing more and more of their old friends.
How old are they at this point?
Like, I mean,
50?
Like 50?
Wow. 40,
yeah, 50s. So then the pandemic hit. Adam was in their vacation home. Steve was in their full-time home. And they both had their own boyfriends tucked away in their houses.
I mean, listen, I love this, okay?
Like,
I'm not mad at that. Adam and Steve.
But it didn't go well.
Oh, damn it.
So they both are resenting each other's boyfriends, lying to each other, and hurt. One of the boyfriends starts threatening friends and stealing from them. So he had to go.
What is going... Who are they picking?
Listen, I don't know who these people are, but this is not good. And so then Adam's boyfriend in the vacation home, Adam loves him, buys him a brand new Ford F-150 truck.
That's expensive.
Lets him move into the vacation home, redecorate and rearrange everything. Steve is devastated.
Steve is the decorator mm-hmm. and the creative.
Yep. Oh, no. And he's just pretending he's fine with it. And then it goes from bad to worse, Sasha. Because you know what Adam and his boyfriend are doing at the vacation home? Meth.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, so my God.
They're trying to pull Adam out of this. They've had interventions, plural. They plead with him. They try to cut him off, but nothing is working. Him and his little boyfriend are just doing meth together. Sad.
Holy hell.
So Steve is so upset he doesn't know what to do. And he has made 3 fake suicide attempts to try and get Adam's attention to get him to quit. Okay, that's not okay.
Stop it, Steve. Disgusting.
Don't drop to the level. But yeah, so he hoped that Adam would care more about Steve being alive than sex and drugs, but he does not. And Steve stopped doing his fake suicide attempts because he was put on a 72-hour hold at the hospital. Yeah, Steve, don't do that. You can't do that shit. Stop it.
Oh,
honestly, I'm only mad that Rob isn't here for this story.
I need Rob to live tweet this.
Yeah, Rob, can you please send me and Sasha voice memos as you listen to this? Please.
And this is how we'll know if he lambed.
And this is how we'll know if Rob listens. So they want to tell Adam's family, but his mother is almost 90 and frail. So they don't want to put her through that. Jeez. And his 2 sisters both have passed away from cancer, and his brother also has addiction issues. They got a hold of a nephew and got a nephew involved who did an intervention, which also did not work.
I am gobsmacked. At this point.
We're almost done. We're almost done. This is what a rollercoaster.
Y'all, I hope you're... mouths are on the floor just like mine.
I can't, Adam is still working and maintaining his life. He has a high level job in a big company. Our messenger is like, I don't know how they don't see his decline. Like, he has weird red spots and bumps that he like basically is pulling the scabs off of. Very classic meth behavior. And it's like, this decline happened because a solid couple had an incident of infidelity, and their solution was to delve deeper into infidelity. And 10 years later, they are miserable drug users barely holding on. But they're also millionaires who have all the support in the world. And the moment they're ready to make positive changes, their life will go back to being great. It's all about poor choices and feeding into darker impulses in life. Midlife crises are real, and they can really take people down. It's not about, that's the thing where it's like, yeah, they're millionaires, but it's not even about like deciding to make positive changes. Like, you're so far past, you know, like,
God, I don't understand. Like, I'm very confused. You know what I mean? First of all, it's like Adam, it seems like it's in, unfortunately, addiction is in his genes, right?
Which where is often how it works. And also, yes. Meth is like one of the most addictive things on the planet. Yep. Like, you can do meth once and become addicted.
Yeah. So it's just, it's so unfortunate. But like, I'm confused because Steve can leave.
Yeah, but he's like, I'm not ready to leave. And it's like, what the hell?
But Adam doesn't want you.
And the thing is like, there is so much to that story, but there's still got to be more to the story.
Yes, exactly. Because I don't think any intervention is working. So I don't know, like, maybe.
Like, that's a point where you have to do, like, where you, like, kidnap someone and put them in rehab. Like, one of those types of places. Yeah, like, you literally have to, take them away.
Put them on a whole, like a literal, like get like the rehab people involved and be like,
yeah,
this is bad. But the fact that I think he has such a, Adam has such a high paying job, that also equals probably he has access to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and like a lot of power and stuff. So, I don't know, like, the piece where it says I don't have any idea how they don't see his decline, I think sometimes oh my God, all the weird red spots and
yeah, I think it's the thing, like, if he's still doing his job and making the money, they don't care about his well-being.
And I think once you reach a certain level, like, you're, how do I nicely say it, right, like, other people are doing the job for you, and you're just kind of like dared to keep the, you know, you just, the boat just can't be rocked. That's all. You just have to kind of keep it on track sometimes in some roles. So I'm wondering if it's that kind of a job, you know, where once you reach a certain level, it's like, it's cushy. You just kind of have to like go from day to day. But I don't know. If I saw someone with the red spots and bumps, I wouldn't be like meth, but I would be like, are you good?
Well, and that's the thing. If he's that high in the company, who is going to feel comfortable to be like, you good?
That part.
Okay. Like sometimes you can't question like a boss.
Exactly. And maybe they even know what he's doing, but like, what can they do about it?
Yeah.
It's wow. Just, oh, this has to be like top five messes.
Yeah, that is up there.
Like,
so
thank you for sharing this because, oh my God.
And it just goes to show the best mess is still yet to come. If you have not submitted your mess.
Yes.
Listen, it doesn't have to be to this level. Okay. Not everyone can be, but if you have mess, send it in tinyurl.com/messmagnets.
And just, you know, maybe stop partying. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my, just be careful with the drugs, y'all.
Yeah, just you have to be careful with the drugs. Just be in therapy.
Make good choices.
Or have like support system around you if you're gonna try all this stuff.
And also, if there's gonna be drugs in your life, get a naloxone kit. In Canada, at least they're free at the pharmacy. Protect yourself. Like, there's some scary shit out there right now.
Like, don't do it here. Yeah. Like, it's just be aware, please. Just be aware.
Yes.
Oof. Yeah. I think, Kirsten, that is it for us.
That is it. Yeah. We're done. That is it. That is all. I need a nap, a Xanax, a glass of wine.
Correct.
Like, I don't
know.
But
be careful
what I
with
need.
The drugs, you know.
I can't listen. A prescribed anti-anxiety Correct. Medication. Okay. It's a lot. But that is it. That is the episode of Mess Magnets for the week. Sasha, where else can people hear from you?
Yeah. I am covering, in addition to Mess Magnets, covering Survivor South Africa over on Silent Podcasts every week as well. So go check that out. We release episodes every Friday. And two new shows will be starting this week. So Never Have I Ever is back, baby. Yes. So Chappelle and I will be recording this week and putting out episode. But our goal is, you know, two episodes a week. We'll see. If you follow us on Never Have I Ever, you know it's vibes only.
Listen, when can I come back?
Period. Okay. You're on the dock. Don't worry.
Thank God. I just have to ask in public to make sure I get one.
Woo! Submit that to Anonymous. But yes, yeah, so Never Have I Ever will be back. We'll be on our own feed. So we're really excited. And She-Hulk is premiering this week as well.
Attorney at Law.
Period. So we will be on post-show recaps. Never Have I Ever will be on Silent Podcast. She-Hulk will be on post-show recaps as well, coming out this week. So that'll be just episodic because it's getting released weekly. So I'm excited. If you want to keep track of everything else I'm doing, just follow me on Twitter @funsize_04. And what about you, Kirsten?
Sasha, amazing. This week, Lindsay Wilson and I released an episode of BoJack Horsepod with Raphael Bob Blocksberg, the creator of BoJack Horseman. We found out during the show that he actually was a weekly listener to our podcast. So it's a really fun conversation. It's amazing. I was gooped. I was gagged. I was not okay. But that was really fun. So definitely check out BoJack Horsepod to listen to that. Also, Brian Scali and I are covering Love Island USA season 4 over on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed. This week, your own Sasha Joseph will be on one of the episodes. So check it out.
I know. I was like, I can't wait. I'm so ready for these Hot Dummies on Island. Like, I'm here. I'm here for it. Thank you for finally asking.
You had to catch up because you were on tour.
Correct. I know. It's just like they won't stop, but this is a great season.
It's
like, I have to say.
Fun. Oh my God. It's so fun. If you love mess, you will love Love Island USA season 4. And then anything else I'm doing, I will post on Twitter @KirstenSaidWhat. And you can also check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/KirstenSaidWhat. But we will be back next week with more mess, and we'll see you then.